Pretty much, yeah.
I love it.
We're here.
I've never been part of the podcast.
Now you have.
I'm honored.
Okay, welcome everybody to Continuing
Hello.
Conversations. And we want to welcome, well, first I'll say, okay, I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And we're welcoming today
Shelly Chago.
Yay! Hi, Shelly.
Hi.
Shelly's our president.
Shelly is the president of the congregation. She's a big deal. So that's why we wanted to have her here. But also, we kind of teased the fact last time we were talking that during Lent, we thought it'd be fun to have other voices in, especially because we're going to be going back and back and back again and again
to the same thing,
to the Beatitudes. So all throughout Lent, we're going to be talking the Beatitudes. So it's going to be a lot of me and Pastor Dana just talking about the same thing over and over again. But on Wednesdays, we'll have guest preachers, guest speakers. And so we're trying to get as many voices in on this as possible, mm-hmm. because that's important. That it's not just two people talking the whole time, not just a monologue the whole time either. So, yeah, welcome. I'm glad you're
thank
here, Shelly. Shelly, thank
pleasure.
You.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So Lent one, we're here. We made it.
Woo.
We made it.
Woo. We also did an anointing with oil mm-hmm. healing service. That was
really nice.
Yeah, wasn't it? I love the healing service Sunday is really nice.
I forget how, like, I don't want to say taxing, but like there's a lot of energy that goes into that to do that mm-hmm.
And we talked about this on our Ash Wednesday continuing conversation too. But anytime that there's mm-hmm. like a physical thing where you're like reaching out mm-hmm. and touching somebody, and in this case it was, you know, we're marking the sign of the cross on people's foreheads or on their hands, and we give them a little blessing for healing and for wholeness and everything. And yeah, there's something about, I don't know, that's like the energy gets like zapped out of you.
Yeah.
It's like, it just gets sucked.
It's a lot of work. It really, it's a physical.
Yeah.
Wonderful, special feeling.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. To be a part of.
It is.
And I like it a lot.
I feel like a reporter with this mic. Like,
and
my question.
And to you. Yeah, it is. It's like a formal interview.
We have two microphones for three people, so we're doing our best.
We're doing our best to share it around. But I like healing Sundays, but yeah, they do take a lot out of you. But I've heard from, I don't know if you saw, a lot of people came up with tears in their eyes.
As a recipient of it, it just feels so good to my soul and heart. It's re-energizing, and it's just a special blessing. I mean, coming mm-hmm. here is just a special blessing on Sunday, but that was just a special touch.
Yeah, to come up one by one.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. It's really great. I like it a lot, but it takes a lot out of you, but it's for the good.
I think as I've built some relationships here now in 6 months, it's been about 6 months that I've been here.
I know. Time flies.
It feels even more deep. Like, it's easier to do that for strangers. And then when you know people and some of their
start to hear their stories.
It's like, ooh, that is like,
because you now you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people say this.
Yeah.
But it's true. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
Everybody you see on the street is going through some struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once you're in a community for a bit, you get to see people's struggles. And, you know, that's why we're in church community together. You know, that's why we are a church, so we can uphold each other and support each other through all the highs and the lows of life. So yeah, to have that where you see people face to face and you can go, I know you're going through this, or I know your mm-hmm. son or daughter is going through mm-hmm. addiction or something, mm-hmm. or I know you told me about your medical diagnosis and now you're coming. And so it's like it's like a Rolodex in my brain. Every mm-hmm. person that comes up is going, and I can picture it.
Yeah.
And that it's powerful.
Well, and it gives a great attachment and emotional feeling for mm-hmm. you guys too.
Yeah.
I would think for me as the recipient, it's just very energizing, but it's also the feeling of there's no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They love me and accept me for who I am.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about. That's why I love All Saints so much.
Yeah. Oh, that's very sweet of you.
All
Saints.
Well, it's the truth.
So that was nice. And then we had our first Sunday of the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. That was the gospel for today, and paired up with this great reading from Deuteronomy 26. And yeah, you've got some notes. I see.
My notes are always scribbles. Just so scribbled.
Right. I do the same thing.
Yeah. It's good. I need some room. Yeah. Spread out.
But maybe we want to talk to... What? It is daylight savings and yeah, the words are just not...
Oh, yeah,
everything is off track. Anyway, do we want to ask Shelly something first?
Sure.
Like, we haven't done this yet. Do we want to ask her, like, how'd you like the sermon? What'd you think?
Yeah, any
what
thoughts on the sermon? I don't, yeah.
And open forum?
We definitely like, don't have it was good.
No, I really, because I was like, okay, I know I'm going to do this podcast with you afterwards. I've never done this. What mm-hmm. am I doing? But I loved how you opened it up about the nerd session.
Yeah, right.
With the mm-hmm. pronouns. And you did an awesome job of explaining that this is in the present. It's not in the future. And it helps you to think about Jesus saying what he did then and how those people must have felt and the trials and tribulations that they were going through.
Right.
And we all do. Every generation. I don't care where we are and what you said too, no matter how much money, how little money, whatever. Everybody has their trials and tribulations.
Absolutely.
And I loved how you brought it all around about the they, we, you, me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I said that in the right order or not,
yeah,
but
it was
amazing. And you, mm-hmm. you hit it. It was like, wow.
Right.
And with everything, especially going on in this world.
That's what, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, how can you not take this to heart?
Yeah.
And really, how can I make a difference?
Right. Yeah, that was the pronouns thing, the he, they, we, us thing. That was Ralph Jacobson. Shout out Ralph Jacobson.
Shout out.
I love Ralph Jacobson. He was a professor of ours at Luther Seminary. You took Dick Psalms
that was the,
from
like,
Ralph.
I didn't, but he taught the like last capstone kind of ish class.
Cool.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have learned everything we needed to learn by the time we took that class. And then we got to that class and we were like, Oh,
there's a lot I didn't learn here. Yeah, exactly.
That was tough, but mm-hmm. it was good.
Ralph. Ralph spoke about this in a podcast I listened to this week of that, how this liturgy of gratefulness and mm-hmm. gratitude is structured in this way. I think so we can find our place in that story. And I just love the way that he worded that. And that's, I was like, I'm using that for sure. This is also a Sunday where I wanted to talk about our stewardship campaign. So it was like, it was a lot of things all at once that I wanted to put in the sermon. It's like, we got to introduce the Beatitudes. I think this Deuteronomy text deserves a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And then also I want to bring it to the wider thing that we're doing, which is we're going to be taking our stewardship materials next Sunday. Yeah. And this is the last chance we can kind of plug. If you haven't gotten yours in, get it in, you know? So I'm like, how does this all fit
money.
Together? Yeah. Give it, bring money to the church. Cause we need it.
The president of the council is here. She
wants
you to, wants you to give money. Yeah, right? Isn't that why you're here?
That's your job. Yeah. So yeah, that structuring and that orientation of it's, you know, there's a they, the generation that came before us, they did something, you know, a wandering Aramean was my father. So then we as a community are now given this place and this power and this authority so that you can do X, Y, and Z. And then the fact that, I am because I don't have it written down. And then I also loved that in Deuteronomy, then you together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, also to bring it to that piece of the hospitality and the generosity even goes to those others.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're in this together.
We're all in this together. The people here at the church who join us each and every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of the we in that. You know, there's another level to that is, yeah, we can uphold and support one another. And certainly that's what the stewardship season is about, is how do we keep the lights on here at church and keep church going? But it's for something much bigger. It's for the sake of the world. That's what our mission, we're called to go, yes, be empowered in this place and fed and strengthened in this place. But it's all for the purpose of then taking what we received here and now we go and serve the they. Whether that's the immigrant population or whether that's the homeless population or the imprisoned or the sick or whatever. So I just thought that this text was too good to not include.
I noticed in your sermon, you were talking about more service and how we go mm-hmm. out and be that in the world. But I also think there are a lot of churches and organizations right now that just need money to do the things that they're already doing. And I think you said that there mm-hmm. are some churches in our Minneapolis Synod that are helping the immigrant population and with the new regulations and
every day something
mm-hmm. like where you went to that meeting and you were like, well, they just need money, like
right,
like yeah, we all want to help, but like they actually just need some resources too. So,
and that's real, because yeah, I feel like when people want to help with anything, their first thought is like, oh, I should organize some people and we should get something together. And that's all well and good. Mm-hmm. But there's already organizations at work mm-hmm. and they're already deep mm-hmm. in it and they know the needs and they've been at work. So we don't need a bunch of little factions working independently.
Yeah.
Let's pool our resources. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this we had this synod ministerium thing where all the synods got together. And that was one of the things they talked about, is there are these ministry sites that they're already at work with our immigrant population, helping equip them and get them what they need. And a big thing that they need right now is just money to keep going. And we all want to do something, but what can you do?
So what I think that takes away, what it takes away from, you know, service or whatever, is the relationship piece.
Right.
And I think mm-hmm. people maybe get uncomfortable with that, where they're like, I'm supposed to have a relationship. Like if you're trying to preach at me about relationships, and yet like the relationships are already being done and mm-hmm. there's like back, you know, help that can background help that can be given financially too. Mm-hmm. And people who are already doing work, like just because the work needs to be done doesn't mean that you have to do it. That's kind of the like,
mm-hmm.
Nobody likes a money grab. Yeah. There's always ways to physically get involved, but there are some cases where it's just, I mean, you perked up when I said prison ministry, because you've done a lot of prison ministry. Yeah. Prison ministry.
Well, I met with a friend to maybe get back in the prison on Thursday.
Cool. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And but that's to the point. That's prison ministry is not something you can just go do.
Oh, you can't. Like no, you,
they won't let you
it's
in.
It's very specific. You can't just like walk up and be like, "Can I go in there?"
Yeah. There's no. background checks you need to do. There's like,
you have to wear the right clothes.
You have to wear the right clothes. You have to have the training to know what to do, where to. Yeah. You. They don't just let anybody do it because it's really mm-hmm. important, but also delicate work. So that's one of those things. It's like, I want to serve the imprisoned. It's like, okay, but you're going to, you know, it's going to take a lot of time and there's already people doing it. So maybe, yeah, in some cases, the best thing to do is just support those already doing it.
Right.
And that's hard to stomach sometimes mm-hmm. because we have a heart, you know, we're Christians and we have a heart for this. And yeah, we want to get physically involved, but sometimes it's just not something you can do.
The kids are running outside the door.
Yeah, I know. They could be mine. Screaming. I don't know.
It might be yours.
Yeah,
it's like, gave them donuts.
Yeah, we gave the kids donuts, and now they're running all over the church, which is a beautiful, messy, crazy thing.
Blessed are they.
Blessed are they
who running around the church.
Sugar up the kids and let them run around the church. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else you got, Dana? You got some more notes here.
I want just since we have Shelly here, I want mm-hmm. her to talk. What does it mean to you, maybe this dichotomy of like blessed versus cursed? Mm-hmm. Like Pastor Matt kind of got to that, but like, is the opposite really, is the opposite of blessed really cursed, or is the opposite of cursed really blessed?
I guess I don't think so, because so personally for me, I have a lot of blessings in life. But you get thrown a lot of curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when those happen, do I feel like I'm cursed? No, I've had to realize that in my heart, I don't believe it's, people will say, well, why did God let this happen? Or why did this happen or that happen? And it's like, we have free will.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have free will. Mm-hmm. And the things that happen sometimes happen, they just do.
That's just life.
It's life, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what I've had to learn is that through a lot of the pain, I really ultimately ended up being more humbled and blessed by learning what I did because I didn't have an understanding of what that pain or hurt was, whether it's for me or a family member or a friend.
Yeah.
It's part of our journey.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
That's how I try to look at things in life and just go, okay, God, help me to do your will. I'm in over my head on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. And I wouldn't change any of the things that have happened in my life with my kids, with friends, with anybody. It's just, that to me is blessing, and just the dignity and the support of friends that don't judge.
Yeah.
And
going back to that community thing, yes, why you need that sense of community.
It's by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. It truly is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we need this text from Beatitudes, because it helps us to reframe what blessings are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you did understand blessings as just the good stuff,
right,
then you would have to understand that when the good stuff goes away,
gone.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm cursed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, because the thing that I talk to people about the most, it seems, is when people come to me and say something bad has happened to them in their life. One of the first things most people say is,
why did God
do this? Or like, what am I being punished for? I don't understand. And it's like, that's why we need the Beatitudes, so we can reorient our understanding of what it means to be blessed, to know that it's not just success and health and security and power and all those things that the world says that they are. Because that's, if that's it, then yeah, you would just fall into despair every time something bad happens.
Right.
But this is Jesus making the world so much more complicated than what we want it to be. Like, they had these hierarchies while Jesus was around. The ones who looked blessed were the ones with money and with status and in the fancy clothes. And like, you know, I'm sure they're standing at the Sermon on the Mount being like, when in this list is me? Like, keep going. When am I the blessed one? And what a shock to hear all of these other groups of people before them be called as blessed. And then, you know, like, then what does that mean for me? So yeah, but it's so much messier than just blessed or cursed or good or bad or like, and I think that's what the Beatitudes represent too. Like, I know we got to go deep on them, but next week I'll be doing, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And there's like, that is what happens when someone mourns, is they're comforted. So there's this like deep relationship within, the event that happens and the response that comes with that too.
Absolutely.
In relationship. Like, that's the only option, is relationship.
Right.
There's
a great, and I was looking it up. I love Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
I love Stephen Colbert. Too. He's very funny, but also a man of,
like, okay, I'll
okay, here we go. But also a man of deep faith. And he talks about his faith often. And he had an interview with Anderson Cooper, where he said, what punishments of God are not gifts? It's a gift to exist, and with existence comes suffering. And this came about because Stephen Colbert lost his father and his brothers at a very young age. So he dealt with grief very early on in his life. And it's like, how do you not internalize that and go, oh, I'm just cursed by God. You know, I lost my dad and my brothers, you know, like, you know, God turned God's back on me, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And he's, through his grief, been able to come to this understanding that some of those things that we categorize as punishments or curses are actually some of God's greatest gifts, because that's what living is all about, you know, and that sort of stuff comes with time.
With caution.
With caution.
I would say that
you don't
statement.
Want to tell that to somebody in the midst of deep grieving to go.
Absolutely not, because that would seem very heartless.
Very heartless. And also make God seem like just cruel, you know, and be like, this is a test, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But in the long run, yep. you know, the end goal of a life is to see that through the lens of this is just part of living, mm-hmm. and it's part of the beauty of living in a way.
It's so hurtful. It's like going through all the stages, whether it's of grief or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and being super ticked off.
Yeah.
But then you also have a choice in how you choose to look at it.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be continued negativity or mm-hmm. if it's going to be okay. And the thing that's nice about living a little longer is you start seeing what happens as a result and how that person was transitioned.
Right.
Or how their life mm-hmm. or their families.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that the people that suffered or that we lost were forgotten.
No.
Because they're never forgotten. Mm-hmm. They're part of our lives and who we are.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, God's cool with anger. If you're angry at God, God's cool with that.
With caution.
But
you're making like big blanket statements.
But God is cool. Yes, I mean, look at the Psalm. Shout out Rolf Jacobson, who taught my class I took in seminary about the Psalms. Lament Psalms are full of anger at God. Of why, God, did you do this? I mean, Jesus cries out from the cross in anger. Oh. And you know, anger is cool with God. But part of the lament psalm is there's always a turn at the end of there's anger, yes, but there's also the faithfulness of God. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a faithful thing to cry out to God in anger. Mm-hmm. That shows that you still have faith in God. If right. you didn't, why would you cry out to God, exactly. right? Yes, so it's complicated. It's confusing, you know, people who are grieving. To your point, Dana, about like, you know, you got to just meet people where they're at. You know, you can't push them too quickly to be like, this is a blessing, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, who are we to say that, you know, meet people where they're at in their journey of grief or whatever they're going through. But this text, the Beatitudes, is the perfect way to change our worldview so we can see that everything we go through in life is still blessed. Even the darkest of dark is still blessed. We just have misunderstood what blessing means.
I'm thinking of people who have it all together and like look like they have never suffered or never struggle with anything, and how like, I don't know, unrelatable they are.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like they're you're like, I don't want to hang out with you.
No.
You have it all and I don't. So like this is we don't have a connection if intimate relationship right, like there's nothing to have of substance there, and so not that I want to see my friends like go through suffering, but but it makes them more human, it makes them more gentle real. Like I want to say gentle of
and real
yeah, absolutely.
It opens up this like wall within them too mm-hmm. where you have to have relationships.
Yeah.
You're going back to Shelley's point, but like,
but there's a certain population that if you're born into a certain amount of wealth or power or privilege, you can just wall yourself up. And I mean, you'll never avoid all suffering. Suffering is a way of life. Even the richest person on
you do earth. Vulnerability or vulnerability does you.
Exactly.
And
right.
That's Brene Brown.
I like it. Thanks, Brene Brown.
But loneliness is what they're going to have.
They're going to have loneliness.
At the end of the day, and that's not...
Yeah, because you've isolated. Fun. You're just building a whole wall, using all the power and money you have just to build walls around yourself. And it's just, it's not relatable.
It's shallow.
It's like shallow. It's no also depth. The most boring thing. John Green. Shout out John Green. You know John Green?
All these shout outs. Shout out John Green. Yeah.
For sure doesn't listen to our podcast, but I listen to his. Dear Hank and John is a great podcast if you want to listen to this. He's on this thing.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, he's on this thing, and he says it every week in his podcast. He says, the most boring thing you can be is a moth drawn to the flame of power and money. It's the most boring thing to be in the world.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that keep coming up in the news cycle week after week. It's just the most boring thing you can be. It's just try to accumulate power and money. It's just... There's no substance there. There's no realness there. It's just the most boring thing you can be. a moth drawn to the flame of power. And I love that. It's perfect. It's but the again, perfect response.
That's the hierarchy that mm-hmm. those people have set themselves apart from.
To be like, I'm perfect. I'm great. I'm blessed.
Better yeah. or have more resources. And they're not down where Jesus was with the people. Like right. that's the. Yeah. That's the difference too, is that they
yeah.
can set themselves apart.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You brought that around perfectly about then and now with the Beatitudes and with what you preached today mm-hmm. with the they, we, now
yeah. Yeah.
pronouns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About, I mean, because it's like that in our world today.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing much has changed since the time of Jesus. Yeah. There were people back then. There are people today that, yeah. totally misunderstood what it means to be blessed.
But Jesus warned against that. Jesus knew that. Like, yeah. that's not new. That's why we're not like, oh, bummer. Like,
yeah. This... And that's why we keep preaching on it, right? Yeah. It's just going to keep coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have each other.
Thank goodness we have each other. Absolutely. That's why we have the church.
You made a statement that said the world needs the church.
Yes, it does.
You said more than that, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna
yeah.
say, do you challenge or affirm that statement? To Shelley.
Ready to go. Well, because it's certainly not me, because I said it.
And I'm gonna challenge it, obviously. Okay, cool. So mm-hmm.
so say that again. Or
the world needs the church.
Do you agree? Cosign?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so then there are those skeptics that are going to say, well, what church, what religion, what this, what right. that,
yeah,
you know, and you can debate that all day long. It's the same thing as politics and are you left or are you right? Or are you, you know, it's just meet people in the middle, listen mm-hmm. to one another, feel for one another. We're human.
Yeah.
And we might not agree with everything that each other says, but at least have respect, listen to it. Consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we can come together somehow.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Through it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, counterpoint. Pastor Dana has got something to say.
The way that we're doing church right now, mm-hmm. I want to say no. Like, yeah. just this institution as a pastor, you're like,
yeah.
here's the president and our senior pastor. Yeah. Like, wait, why are you here?
Yeah, why are you trying to take down
wait, this... I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I know, really. We've set up this very careful hierarchy, this, uh-huh. this balancing on the razor's edge, and you're going to tear it down, Dana?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, probably for the best. Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. I think that's amazing because, you know what, the church... as an institution, unfortunately, is suffering so much, and so many people have turned away from the church.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, where two or more are gathered.
This is what I was going to say.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Great, yeah.
You know, the world needs people, not the church.
Whether it's in our homes,
yeah.
you're in a car with somebody. Somebody, I've had the best conversations with people on airplanes. Mm-hmm. Never saw them again in my life, but they touched me in my heart, and you just were like, wow.
Yeah.
And God does that. I mean, people come in your lives. Sometimes they stay for a while, sometimes they go, but yeah.
A reason, a season, or a lifetime.
So I agree with you, Dana.
I think there are other organizations doing the church's work too.
Yeah.
And this idea that oftentimes better mm-hmm. Because they're more focused, because they have more resources, whatever. But there's this like, no, only the church can help the needy.
No.
And we don't see these other places doing the work.
Yeah.
As church,
or these
but other
they are.
People.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. So we alluded to this. I had lunch with one of my friends who does prison ministry. So she's a prison chaplain, basically. I don't know her official title, but mm-hmm. she goes into the Shakopee all women's prison.
Oh, wow.
She goes into Stillwater. The max security.
I think it's super max or what.
It's a level 4 out of 5.
Okay.
So and then Lino Lakes. So like all around the cities here, and like there are church people I know who are appalled by the things that she does and says, and even walks into a prison. Like, and she was saying, when they get out, when the inmates get out in the real world, she was like, if any church would take them, like, churches, they won't do it. Mm-mm. They won't. They'll be like, nope.
Not in our backyard.
We're not comfortable with that. And She's literally like, anyone, just try it. Like, mm-hmm. you got to take some risks here too. Mm-hmm. And it's things like that that make me really sad about the church of like,
yeah.
these are literally the people
yeah.
who it's Jesus is talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. the churches are like,
not for
sounds
us.
Sounds messy.
Yeah. A lot of people like stuff like that in theory, mm-hmm. but it's yes. the not in our backyard yep. theory, right? Yep. Of right. like, we all want like there to be homeless shelters and stuff. But if I went to Norwood City Council and said, I think right over here in this little plot of land, let's build a homeless shelter, I guarantee you it would be shot down. Mm-hmm. Not because the people of Norwood aren't loving and caring, just because that's people's first reactions, mm-hmm. right? Is like, I don't want that in my backyard because that's going to invite a whole bunch of trouble and crime. And then it's, but that's what Jesus calls us to do. So yeah, to your point of, does the world need the church?
I mean, yes, I think, and no. Yes. And you made stipulations in there. Yeah. You said the church, the world needs the church yeah. for the people in need, or
right.
for us to fully embody right. Christ. But
the church, the yeah. world
so
needs.
So there was more to that statement.
Yeah, the world needs the church in the where two or three are gathered sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The church or the world does not need the institution of the church
no.
because it is a human institution.
Right.
And because it's a human institution, that
and
means
anyone who's gone through the candidacy process knows that it's a human institution.
And it's broken in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things about the church that are broken yeah. and not working yeah. and not serving people, which is why a lot of people, like you said, aren't coming to church because they've been harmed by the church or because it's just not working for them.
Right.
So yeah, the world needs the church, but in the way that the church is living and serving as Jesus instructed us, not as this bloated right. human institution
yes.
that exists just to exist and keep itself in existence. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of churches that are just massive organizations
oh, yeah.
with staff on staff on staff. And they've got great programming and great people working there. But in a lot of ways, it's like you become so big that you spend so much of your time just keeping the ball going. And it's mm-hmm. like, you're not doing as much for your community as you could because it's just gotten so big.
Mm-hmm.
And when human institutions get big, they get broken and corrupt. And
never heard of that.
Never heard of that. No. Yep. So yes, I'll co-sign my own statement. The world needs the church with some asterisks in there.
Yes.
Asterisks on asterisks.
But yeah. this is how we get sound bites of sermons and
exactly
quotes
right.
too, right? Mm-hmm. Is some pastor somewhere says, the right. world needs the church, and we don't get the
and they
asterisks
go, what?
In there.
Yeah,
and-
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
True. Very true.
Okay, what else you got?
I got nothing. I mean, it was my sermon, so I didn't make any notes. I'm trying to think of things I didn't.
Do you want to talk more about the Deuteronomy passage? Shelly read the Deuteronomy passage.
Yes, you did. And a fine job you did, Deuteronomy, doing the Deuteronomy passage. Yeah, I was really stuck with it because mm-hmm. it's this piece is connected to.
Oh, just the whole piece.
Yeah, the piece.
That you're pointing at
the piece, the Deuteronomy piece is connected to what should have been the gospel for Lent
right.
one,
right.
which is Jesus's temptation in the wilderness by Satan.
Yes.
That's always Lent one is Jesus. Yes. That's how you start yeah. Lent one. But because we're doing this series on the Beatitudes, we took out the gospel and put in this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So in putting this together, I'm like, boy, this Deuteronomy thing sticks out like a sore thumb because it's talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert.
Right.
And then that should be connected easily to Jesus's desert experience with the temptation of Jesus. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this thing that is not connected to Matthew 5? But it worked because yeah. of that. This is supposed to be a liturgy used in service. So Moses is telling us when you go this should be like, it's like a worship service. This is like a little 11 verse worship service. And this is how you are to take the first fruits of your harvest every season. Just like, you know, we do the blessing of the seed and soil here, you know? So a lot of it is all these ancient things we still use in one way or another, but yeah, the Deuteronomy piece, the fact that it talked about, you know, the past they, the people that came before us, and now we who've received this blessing, you know, we've been through all this hardship, but now we're, I mean, the thing that they don't talk about in Deuteronomy is there were people living in that land of milk and honey when the Israelites marched in, and those people got deposed. You know, there were people already living there. So the Israelites marched in and said, "This is our land now." Could you imagine this story?
Never heard of that before.
From their point of view, right? Yeah. So you know, it's world history. It's every culture ever marches in and said, "This is our land now." Right. So from their point of view, this would not be a liturgy of gratitude, right? So, yeah, they march into this land, and this is now their land, and what do we do with this land? And I thought it worked pretty well with not only the Beatitudes piece of how we see blessing in the wider context of meeting those that in our society aren't very blessed, but then also, what do we do with this Commitment Sunday that's coming up next Sunday? And people are going to be turning in their pledge cards, and we've been sharing this theme of, you know, what it means to be the church and how God lives in us when we love and serve and everything. So it all kind of fit together. I don't know. The Spirit keeps doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, thank God it's not up to us, because as these texts sort of fall into our lap, my first blush, you know, I'll, on a Monday morning, I'll sit down and I'll read through the text that I'm supposed to preach on the coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to do with that? That's always my first. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've got nothing. This doesn't relate to anything happening in the world or anything happening in my life. Most of the time it's like, mind is a blank, but then you just sit with it and, you know, you read what other people are saying, or like I did, I listened to a podcast about what theologians are saying. And then it's like, boom, something snaps and it works. And it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. So we can keep coming back week after week. Because if it was up to me, I would have been out of things to say.
Well, you after guys my do second a wonderful sermon. Job. Every week there's just, you tie it back to the history and then you apply it to our world today. And it's wonderful. It's a great feeling leaving here. Just, you know, it's hard to get out of bed some days.
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
But you leave and you go, okay.
Mm-hmm. How about on Daylight Savings Sunday?
Oh, man. It was rough today, wasn't it?
The dog did not want to get up. She was like, it's the middle of the night. Mm-hmm.
What? The dogs are going to be messed up. Yep. My kids are, their sleep schedule is going to be all messed up.
It takes people too to recover from this, I think.
People are in weird moods after the daylight savings time, both in the fall when we fall back or in the spring. It's like people are just out of sorts for a while. And
I thought we were supposed to stop that.
Every year it comes to this time and it's like, so-and-so said that they're going to get away with it or they're going to do away with it. And it's like, nothing ever seems to come of it. It just keeps being brought up of like, they're gonna. And it's like, I want to see something because I'm sick of it. I don't understand it.
I like it. So.
I like having more sun at the end of the day.
Yes.
But it's like, we don't have any more sun. We didn't change. Yeah. We didn't go.
Yes,
and,
we do.
No, we don't. The sun is where it always is. No. We just moved our clocks.
Well, okay. But the way the earth
is tilted. Sure. But we didn't tilt the earth overnight at one in the morning or two in the morning.
Didn't do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like, I love daylight savings time. They make more sunlight. It's like, we didn't make anything. It's the same world we lived in. We just decided to move the clocks. It's silly.
Yeah.
I know I'm being,
I taught you who,
I'm being obtuse,
who
but
invented daylight savings today.
That's right. Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
I learned that because he's a sadist and he wanted us to be annoyed twice a year and go like, oh yeah, that's right. I thought about that yesterday. I was like, I should message Dana and be like, don't forget to change your time. But my phone does it automatically. Did you have to change your clocks? Or do
I
you
have to
just...
change the clocks in the house, but not my Fitbit or the phone.
Yeah. Your phone. And you
and
use
my
that
alarms
for your,
on my phone.
Yeah, my alarm's on my phone. Yeah, so I don't have to, I don't even think about it really. It just sort of happens. But yeah, this morning driving to church, it was like all of these cars out driving around. I'm like, what are we doing? It's so dark out here. I don't get it. But here we are.
I think you'll live.
It'll be fine. I'll be fine. Somehow I'll get by.
Is that a blessing or a curse?
Right now, it feels like a curse. I'll be honest. But I know tonight when it's 5 o'clock and it isn't like pitch black, you know, like it is.
It'll be light till like 7.
I know. And I love that. Nice. I love that. Yeah. My kids might not. They will be confused. Why are we going to bed? It's so bright. It's like, just go to bed. Blackout. Thank God for blackout blinds.
Right.
Those are very helpful this time of year. Yeah. So daylight savings time. Good times. Yeah.
You decide, listeners, blessing or curse.
Blessing or curse.
Daylight savings time.
Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for helping us continue the conversation. And thank you, Shelley, for helping us continue the conversation.
It was absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun. So, if you've got thoughts on this, we'd love to hear from you.
If you want to be on.
Give us a shout out. You can join us on the next one. So, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.